one question is that which is the greatest hope that we have as a believer.
Yeah, it really is. And I think we've had a fun time in this series. I've had several people come and say, you guys are going to end the series already? No, yes, we have to end the series for our sanity, okay? We can only do this so much. studying with him throughout the week, it's like we're both trying to study, and it's just different, you know? But we've really enjoyed it, and we appreciate the great feedback we've had. But we really hope that you've been getting your questions answered. I'm really excited about next Sunday because next Sunday we're starting our Mission Sundays. Totally. And in our Mission Sundays, we're going to hear what our missionaries are currently doing. We're going to hear about people that have come to faith in Christ. And we're going to hear about lives that are literally being changed around the world and how you have a part in that. You know, it's so heartwarming. You know, maybe you see a 2020 special or you watch a video on Facebook or something, and you see somebody that's had a dramatic life change in a better way. You know, you watch that and you go to your significant other, your spouse, and your husband. You tell him, you got to see this. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll sit there and watch it, you know, or whatever. But we're going to see videos. I was watching one this week of a missionary we have in the Dominican Republic. And he was doing a video for us. He was talking to our church. And you guys will see this in a couple weeks. And they had just redone their auditorium. And he was talking about stories of people of lives that are being changed. And he said this. He said, this would not happen without the people at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. And we're going to learn about those things next week. And you'll want to be a part to hear how you are making a difference around the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And, you know, even though we end the series, and we've really enjoyed this opportunity to try to answer your questions. And we're aware that not all the questions were answered. So feel free to talk to us or ask us if either one of us, and we'll do the best we can to answer those questions that perhaps we didn't have time for. But today's question is the truth that literally changed the world.
We introduced a statement a few weeks ago in the series. It was this. It was, we don't change the truth. We allow the truth to change us. The truth we're going to talk about literally transformed lives. A lot of us intellectually might say, yes, I know the truth that we're about to speak about. But when this truth gets in our hearts, literally our lives are going to be changed. Like our lives are going to be transformed. We were talking this week just about our community and about our church and about our lives. And all of us need personal transformation to a certain extent. God needs to do something in all of our hearts. We all need to be changed. But we were talking this week about why we need change as a whole in Solano County.
Yes, you know, it's strange, but there's so much, so many people who are living a life with no hope, no purpose, no meaning. You know, depression, many people are just depressed about so many things, and suicide is on the rise. So there's just a lot of issues that people are struggling with today. And the strange thing is, this is not just believer or unbelievers. This is also believers as well. And, you know, we're trying to look and say, what's going on in our community? And how can we help our community as a church family?
Yeah, as Christians, a lot of times we live discouraged. You know, life can get tough. Life can get difficult. Life can be crazy busy, and it seems like there's no margin. In the first century, what happened was followers of Jesus were living discouraged. They weren't living with purpose. And then this truth happened. When it got in their heart, it changed everything. They went from living with no purpose to living with great purpose. They went from being discouraged to living encouraged. And the message of Jesus went from maybe being a part of their lives to literally being the framework of how they viewed the world. What was this truth that changed everything? It was the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead. It was the fact that Jesus wasn't just on a cross, and he didn't just die, but he actually rose again. But how can this actually happen?
You know, Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15. I want us to just look at these verses here. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You see, the fact is that the resurrection changed everything. I mean, for us to understand this, we have to realize that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there would be no purpose, no meaning of what we're doing today. There would be no reason for anyone in the first century to keep on following a dead Savior, one who claimed to be a Savior. While there are facts regarding the resurrection of the dead, I really want us to focus on four undeniable proofs of His resurrection. We might call them facts, if you would. And, you know, the truth of the matter is when a Christian gets a hold of this truth, I can't imagine it not having an effect on them personally. I can't imagine that it not move them with greater boldness. I mean, you may be here today and not be a Christian at all. But the truth is that this fact of Jesus' resurrection could certainly change the way you think.
Yeah, and here's four facts that people would not deny, no scholar would deny, and that was, we'll start with fact number one, and that is this, that Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified. Now, the Bible says this, obviously, in Matthew 27, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. This was prophesied hundreds of years earlier that Jesus Christ, that the Messiah, would be crucified. And we see in Matthew 27 that happened. But it doesn't just say that in the Bible. History tells us that there was a man named Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago that was crucified by the Romans. Now, to the Jew, a crucifixion was a cruel death in general. But when Jews saw crucifixion, it signified that that person was cursed. Now, some people would say that Jesus, he was on the cross, but he didn't really die. But when you study Roman crucifixions and you study everything that went into that, it would be ridiculous to say that the Romans and the whippings and the beatings and everything that went along with a Roman crucifixion, that Jesus had that happen to him, but he actually survived it. It's just ridiculous to even think that. It's not possible.
There's a lot of people today that would like to deny even the existence of Jesus, but even those who are non-believers, those who are skeptics about the Bible or about those things that are recorded for us in Scripture, these truths, they all readily admit that there was a man named Jesus and that Jesus was crucified and that Jesus died. And the fact is that Jesus died, and according to Josh McDowell, who's an apologist, and he writes a lot of books, and he started out as an atheist and became a Christian. And one of the things he mentioned was he did a lot of medical research on this verse in John chapter 19, where it says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." And he wanted to find out from the medical perspective what it means. And the fact is, this overwhelming evidence is that when blood and water separate and one comes out from the other, it is at a point of absolute physical death. So we know that according to the facts of Scripture, that no doubt about it, that he died. But then there's also the evidence of the executioners themselves. The Roman government had a requirement that four of the four executioners who were involved with the death of a prisoner, when he was executed, they had to all four sign verifying the death of that one who was on the cross. And we have that in secular history as well. So we know this death was an undeniable fact.
And if the guards or executioners, if they made that mistake, that they said that guy's dead when really he's not dead, they could be put to death for that very thing. Yeah. So they were writing their names on the line by saying Jesus actually died. So fact number one, we see Jesus was crucified. Fact number two, we see this. The tomb of Jesus was empty. The tomb of Jesus was found empty. That's undeniable. They found the tomb of Jesus empty. Now let's consider. Jesus was a political problem. He was a Roman problem. He was a religious problem. He was an economic problem. Jesus was just a big problem to everybody in the government or everybody that was religious. Interesting, sinners loved Jesus. The sinners came to Jesus. Jesus came to the sinners. But if you had significance in the society, you had issues with Jesus. Jesus stood for things far different than the status quo of the day. But Jesus was a big problem. And if word somehow got out or there was a rumor that Jesus had resurrected, this was going to ruin everything. In fact, it was going to change the world. Pilate knew this. So they had to make sure that Jesus did not get out of that grave. They had to make sure that that grave stayed sealed, because if not, if word got around that this guy Jesus that had done miracles, that had claimed that he would resurrect from the dead, if word got out that he was actually resurrected, it was going to mess up the Roman Empire. By the way, it kind of did. let's look at what happened in Matthew chapter 27. It says, now the next day, that was after the day that Jesus died, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Now, think about this. If he was a deceiver, why would they even be worried about what he said? The next verse. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day. So the Pharisees, the chief priests, they're like, hey, we need to make sure that tomb is sealed up, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead, so the error shall be worse than the first. You see what they're saying? If people say that he's risen from the dead, it's going to be a big error. It's going to mess things up. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure. Now, what did they do to make sure that his body wouldn't be taken? They're sealing the stone, and they're setting a watch. Matthew 27, 60, verse 62 through verse 66. So what did they do? Well, they put a large stone in front of the tomb of Jesus. If you study it out and you look at it, this was a stone that would take more than 10 men to move it. They sealed the tomb with the Roman seal. If the seal was broken, then they would find the person that broke the seal, and they would be executed. It was because that seal represented the power and the prestige of the Roman Empire. So they sealed that tomb with the Roman seal. They also put guards in front of the tomb. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know much about the Roman military, you know those guys were pretty tough. They were big, they were strong. Maybe you've seen a movie, maybe that resonates with you. You've seen a movie and you see the Roman soldiers like shooting bow and arrows and wielding a sword. You see those guys, you don't want to mess with those guys. Those guys were trained, those guys were skilled, those guys they were very good at using weapons. So Pilate put some guys in front of the tomb. So we have a large stone in front of the tomb. We have the Roman seal that was placed on the tomb. We have guards that were placed in front of the tomb. But guess what ended up happening? The tomb was found empty. Now, how would it be possible for some fishermen to come and overtake skilled, trained, and armed soldiers and then move a stone that's thousands of pounds and steal his body? It's unreasonable. The fact of the matter is that Jesus' tomb was found empty. Amen. Fact number one, he was crucified. Fact number two, his tomb was found empty. Now let's go to fact number three.
Fact number three is that the fact of his appearance, his public appearance. Now, what's really interesting is how this is portrayed in Scripture. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15, notice the Bible says in verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. Now let's put this into perspective. Let's say, suppose that maybe you saw something really unusual. I mean, something like unheard of. And you went and perhaps told the authorities, they would probably not believe you, more than likely. They would say, something wrong with you. And then perhaps maybe you saw an event and you had your friend with you, maybe your spouse or maybe a cousin or brother, something like that, and you saw this, and you went to the authorities and you said, we saw this, and they would say, ah, both of you, you know, you guys, something's not right. But if 500 saw it, now they're going to pay attention. Now all of a sudden things are going to be different. And so what we have here in this case is that Paul speaks of the fact that Jesus, not only did he die, not only was he buried, but he rose again, and there are 500 witnesses of his resurrection.
And speaking of the fact of them seeing Jesus, they didn't just see him, but they talked to him, they touched him, they ate with him. Now, 12 people don't do these things if this is, or actually 500 people don't do these things if it's a hallucination. Some people might say, oh, well, it was just a hallucination. If you know anything about hallucinations, hallucinations are internal, they're not external. Two people aren't going to have the same hallucinations. Hallucinations are specific to an individual. So if we were both hallucinating, we wouldn't have the same hallucination. And if 500 people had the exact same hallucination, that would be a miracle right there in of itself. So it couldn't have been a hallucinations, because hallucinations are specific to individuals.
In fact, if 500 people had the same hallucination, that'd be a greater miracle than the resurrection of Jesus.
It certainly would be. And the fact of the matter is that 500 people saw Jesus after he resurrected. Now we have one more proof. And to me, we were talking this week, I think this is the biggest proof of all. And that is the proof of the explosion of Christianity. That is the proof of the explosion of Christianity. I think after the resurrection happened, Christianity literally exploded. And there's really no other way to describe it. After the resurrection happened, the Roman government, all they needed to do was produce a body and say, this is the body of Jesus, and Christianity's no more. It's a wrap. Christianity's done, because here's the body of Jesus, the dead Savior. Nobody's going to follow him. So they could have squashed this rebellion, this new religious movement or whatever they would call it, if they just produced the body of Jesus. But they couldn't. And this message of the gospel literally changed everything. This message of a resurrected Savior changed everything. In fact, these apostles, we were talking earlier about how they were discouraged. After Jesus had died, they went into hiding. Can you imagine? If you think that somebody's the Savior of the world, if you follow somebody, you have all your faith in him, you think he's going to set up his kingdom, and then he dies, what would you do? You're not going to go rejoice and have a party. No, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to say, I thought that he was going to set up the kingdom. And the apostles, they were discouraged. They went into hiding. But then the resurrection happened, or something happened, if it wasn't the resurrection. And these men went from disappointed, discouraged people to bold, passionate faith that literally was unstoppable. These guys went from like hiding out to a place where they said, look, if you want to kill me, go ahead and do it. I'm going to do it for Jesus. What? These guys went from... my faith is wavering. I don't know what I should do, to I'm going to give everything for this message. And it's also interesting that the explosion of Christianity happened in the city of Jerusalem. Anybody know what city did Jesus die in, or right outside the walls in? Jerusalem. Consider this. Every person in Jerusalem could go and verify the facts of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. If you were going to tell a lie, would you go tell it in a place where people would go and verify your lie, whether it was true or not? No, you would go far away. Like, you would think that they would go 500 miles away or 1,000 miles away and spread rumors of this resurrected Savior. They didn't. They went to the very city where Jesus was in, and where anybody could have said, oh, Jesus was resurrected? Oh, let's verify that. And in the very city where Jesus died and where he supposedly resurrected, the message of Christianity exploded. I think that's a very interesting point of view.
Absolutely. No doubt the transformation of the gospel internally was because of the resurrection. I mean, really, their decision to receive Christ came out of the known fact that there was a resurrection. For example, James. James is somewhat of a skeptic about Jesus being the Messiah. But after the resurrection, he boldly proclaimed Christ. You take Saul, for example, Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a persecutor of the church. But once he saw the resurrection and saw Jesus, He went from being a persecutor to being a preacher in the church. So their lives were changed. Just all you do is study the Gospels out. And you look at how the apostles' lives dramatically changed after the resurrection. There was great boldness. There was a commitment. There was that decision to do all that they can, surrender everything to Christ. Now, if they believed this was a lie, that would have been a whole different story. I mean, think about it for a moment. If they lied about Christ and the resurrection, then the following is true, that liars don't make good martyrs. But people have died for lies, but they believed it was the truth. If these men would have died, they would have died for a lie, because, and they knew it was a lie. The fact is, they recognized that certainly Jesus did rise from the dead.
And if you look at the resurrection, if it really happened, then everything Jesus said is true. It validated every single thing that he said. There's hope in Jesus. There's peace in Jesus. There's life in Jesus. And when you look, like we were saying, how the apostles lived immediately after his death, like, for example, Peter, he was known as a fisherman. That was what his trade was. Jesus said, he called him from that, said, I want you to be a fisher of men. I want you to go and be a part of my ministry. What did Peter do after the death of Jesus? He went back to fishing. He said, look, this is done. He said, it's over. I'm going to go back. His faith was wavering. His faith was put on the back burner of his life. Other things were more important. At one point, you look at Peter, his life in the Gospels was about the gospel of Jesus, was about taking this message forward. But Peter, after the death of Jesus, had made the decision, faith is going to be on the back burner of my life. Faith may have part of my life, but it's not going to be that important. But then something happened. Something the apostles didn't expect, something they never grasped in their heart, and that was, they never thought would happen, and that was the resurrection. And something happened in their lives that I pray will happen in your life this morning. Something happened in the lives of the apostles after the resurrection that I pray will happen in your heart, and that is this. The truth of a resurrected Savior resurrected their faith. The truth of a resurrected Savior resurrected their faith. Their faith was wavering. Like they weren't very strong in their faith. But then when this truth of a resurrected Savior got into their hearts and minds, they began to live with passion. It was like their faith was ignited. If you've been a follower of Christ for any length of time, you know that sometimes you're more passionate about your faith than others. You know, there are times where life just gets in the way. Can we just say that? Can we just say circumstances happen, whatever the circumstances are, and faith just is as much of a priority as maybe it should be, and that's in all of our lives. And that's where these people were at. These apostles, they were caught up in life. They were discouraged. And sometimes in life, we get that way. And I don't know how many of you are there. You know, maybe nobody's there, and I hope that's true. But I know in a room this size, there are some people here that you might be discouraged a little bit. Maybe life has happened, and it's thrown some jabs that you weren't ready for. Life can be tough. And these apostles were discouraged, but when the truth of the resurrected Savior came in their hearts and minds, it ignited them. It changed everything. I want us to look at this real quick, and I believe that this will do great things in our hearts. Meditating on a risen Savior will medicate your wavering faith. Meditating on a risen Savior will medicate your wavering faith. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Really, like, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and he's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than whatever you're facing. He's bigger than your bad church experience you had. He's bigger than maybe the way that person treated you, and I can't believe they said that to me, or I can't believe they did that. I understand, but Jesus is alive, and when you meditate on a risen Savior, it will medicate your wavering faith.
Based on where you are today, if the resurrection were to happen today, how would you respond? What would you do? Maybe you're here today without Christ. Would you turn to Christ as your personal Savior? Or maybe you're here today as a Christian, and perhaps maybe as a believer, that you know, you've not made the next step in your life. Maybe the step of getting baptized. Oh, you're a Christian, but you've not gotten baptized. Or maybe you've not joined the church, you know, joined Calvary Baptist Church. Or maybe you've not gotten involved in a connection class or a connection group. You know, whatever it is that God might be speaking in your heart about, you see, this resurrection should revolutionize our life. It's that powerful. It's not something. It's a huge deal.
That's right.
It literally changed our world for Jesus Christ and for the gospel. And I pray today that this will change your life as well. Let us pray.